Well, it's great to be saved. Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Essential qualities. Look at that title, if you will, please. The essential qualities of good home building. Mother. Think about that word, mother. She cooks. She cleans. She comforts. She corrects. She has six pairs of hands. And eyes in the back of her head. Mother, for some, this word conjures up images of a singer of lullabies. For others, it's a baker of brownies. To yet others, it's kissing away a child's hot tears. But I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, as we begin this particular message, no one has more influence than a mother for better or for worse than a mother. For better or for worse. Listen, mother will impact forever the life of her children. A mother will forever impact the life of her children. And again, make sure you understand what I'm saying, for better or for worse. Tough and tender, wise and warm, a mother must be all things to all of her family. And she must be all things to her family at all times. That's quite a job description, isn't it? And anyone who is a mother, or anyone who has watched one in action, knows there's no career more demanding than a mother. How in the world does she do it all? How does a good mother do it all? It's such a demanding job. So this morning I want to give you the qualities, the essential qualities for good home building. Let me start by saying a good, firm foundation. You've got to have a firm foundation. All homes must be built on a firm foundation. Going back to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 3 and 4, we see the tools that mothers need for establishing a home that is rock solid. Now let me tell you one more time, ladies and gentlemen, about this Bible. Everybody knows that when you're going to build a building, you build a building by blueprints. In every one of my counseling sessions about marriage, we talk about the blueprint. And I ask every single couple that I marry, what would you think if you were having a house built and the contractor had two sets of blueprints? And he had this set over here and this set over here, and we're going to build your house for you, and we're going to use these blueprints, and they were totally different. You would say to yourself, sir, hold a minute. Don't you have to get this together? This is an idea of a blueprint, and this is an idea of a blueprint, but you can't build the same house with both blueprints. You gotta somehow get it together and have one good blueprint. Same thing in marriage. Here's a guy getting married, and here's a gal getting married, and he has his idea about marriage, and she has hers. What they need to do is get their blueprints together and come up with one solid, good blueprint for marriage. And by the way, you know who has the greatest blueprint of all time? Is God of heaven. And He's written it right here for us. And the blueprint for mothers and the blueprint for homes is all right in the precious Word of God. So first of all, we have to have a good foundation. So we have the tools here in verse 3 and 4 that we need for establishing a home that is rock solid. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Solomon is suggesting that homes are built with three primary tools. They are wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to see with discernment, to view through God's eyes. Understanding is the skill of responding with insight, reading between the lines. Knowledge, I think, is the rare trait of going beyond the facts. It's perceiving, discovering, and growing with your child. Now, these tools have nothing to do with the hammer and nails or a trowel and mortar. They are relational, these tools are. And mothers, you can have all three. Everybody here can have all three of these tools. With God-given wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, you can be filling, listen, we can be filling the rooms of our homes with a rich heritage of godly character traits and deep relationships and lasting memories. And everybody I talk to always wants to have these sorts of things in their house. They want to have deep relationships. They want to have these character traits that are very godly. And they want to have, preacher, that's what I want. I want to have lasting good memories of our home. Everybody wants that, don't we? Now, there's a way to do it. And God in His blueprint knows the way. In the New Testament shows. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The New Testament shows us a mother who used the tools of wisdom and understanding and knowledge in rearing her son Timothy. Timothy, although we don't know much about Timothy's mother, we do know that she and his grandmother made an incredible investment somehow in his spiritual life and his spiritual growth. So much so that Paul, the wise apostle, was drawn to this young man called Timothy. And they actually had a 15-year relationship and friendship. And as Paul lay dying in a Roman dungeon, Timothy was his friend that he sought out. In fact, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse 1 through 4, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Looking back on their friendship, Paul is filled with gratitude and good memories. Isn't that great? He's full of gratitude and good memories. In the verses that follow, we'll discover, we're going to stay right here in 2 Timothy now, we're going to discover the qualities that made Timothy unique and appealing. Qualities he learned somehow, I believe, from his mother. So let's look at Roman numeral 2, a mother's contribution. Now, first of all, we have to have what? What's that first Roman numeral? I have to have what? No, Roman numeral 1 was a firm foundation. I've got to have a firm foundation. And that firm foundation comes from the blueprint, God's precious word. Number 2, Roman numeral number 2, a mother's contributions. And here's where we get an outline. Verses 4 through 7. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 5 distinct contributions mothers can make are listed right here. 5 contributions we can make to the family, filling every room with her motherly touch until her house becomes a home. Now, just because you have a husband or because you have a wife and because you have a kid or a child or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 doesn't mean you have a home. You may just have a house with people living in it. But you need to learn how to have a home, a real home. Transparent tenderness is the very first point I want to give to you. How can I fill my room with a motherly touch till my house, preacher, becomes a home? Number 1, transparent tenderness. We find that in verse number 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, because of being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I recall your tears, he says. Paul first mentions Timothy's tears, his tears. Paul remembers Timothy's tenderness, a trait passed down, no doubt, from his mother. In fact, did you realize that most of us learn tenderness from our mothers, while our dads taught us diligence? Well, that's how it was in the old days anyway. Today, I'm not positively sure, because we have so many effeminate men and masculine women. Women who will rip your head off, and fellows who will be dainty with you. God help our generation. Man, give us men. Give us men of God, men of strength, and give us ladies that are not brutes, but are feminine. Loving, kind, sweet. Somebody say amen. Tenderness, transparent tenderness. Honestly, from Dad, we learned the value of a dollar. Or I did. Buddy, if you were in James Lewis's home, you learned the value of a dollar. Because he made it happen. I learned the value of tithing from my dad. I told you the story tons of times, but I got $5 a week for my allowance. And Dad was secretary treasurer of the church. And buddy, in that little envelope every week, I better have 50 cents in that envelope. And then once in a while, a little more for missionaries. And if I didn't, my money stopped. It's just as simple as that. Son, you learn the secret, or you don't get any money from me. That's a good thing. Amen. Some of you parents need to practice that. Well, I'm going to let my kids decide what they want to do. Teach them the truth. Then let them decide about what truth is. Anyway, we learn from Dad, not only about money. We learn the value of the dollar, the significance of honesty, the importance of standing alone when everything around turns against us. Dad taught me how to stand by myself. But we learn transparent tenderness. Now, my dad didn't cry a whole lot when he was disciplining me. My mother would cry. But my dad was, get over here. Put a knot on my head. And other areas as well. But mom, we learn tenderness from mother, did we not? Mothers, don't lose that ability. It's one of the greatest contributions to your family. Your warm embrace, your eager smile, your soft reply will be a safe harbor for a child who's tossed and battered by life's stormy seas. And some point in time, life's going to be a stormy sea for everybody. And there needs to be a mama there you can go back to and hug her. And she hug you. And she says to you, I love you, son. My mother still. I don't care. I don't care what happens to me. She still hugs me and loves me, and I love it. And she's so tender with me. And I love it. Number two, authentic spirituality. Now, first of all, what was the first one? A mother's contribution is, number one is transparent tenderness. Number two is authentic spirituality. Verse number five, Paul refers directly to Timothy's heritage and his roots concerning his mom and his grandmother. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The Greek word here is unhypocritical. Nothing phony here. It's real, lived out faith. Paul knew the sincere faith model in mama and his grandmother had made an impact on Timothy. That's the way authentic spirituality works. Christian churches and schools and friends can give their children all kinds of facts and the words to say, but those words won't really fit unless God's truth is translated at home. I have seen it over and over again because we've had a Christian school for 35 years, and I've seen it over and over again. We give them words. We give them ideas from the Word of God here at school. I can see it at church, but when it gets home, it's not lived at home, and the child gets in a dichotomy. He doesn't know what's truth. He doesn't know what to believe. Mom and Dad live this way, but preacher and the people in church say we ought to do it this way, and it's so confusing, and there's so much deception that when the child grows up, he doesn't know what to believe, and many times he'll walk right away from the church. I found an article by somebody and it said this: parents, wake up. This is not my words, but it's what a parent was told by this article. It said, parents, wake up. If you are living in sin, your lack of love for Jesus Christ will someday show up in the lives of your children. Wow. The article said, and the writer said, wake up, parents, because of your living in sin at home, making it look like everything's okay at church, but at home you're not living properly. Eventually, when your kids get older, all that stuff will show up in the lives of your children. That's because we didn't have authentic spirituality. Number three is inner confidence. In verse 6 and 7, Paul continues on the same theme. And in that Greek word, that inherent strength, that inner might. Notice that timidity is not a desirable trait, by the way, being timid. It's a synonym for insecurity or inferiority. It's amazing how our children can sense your own attitude towards yourself and how they will emulate your attitude towards yourself, whether it be good or bad. One of the reasons Timothy stayed true to the Scriptures and stood strong in his ministry was because he had learned inner strength and inner confidence from his mother. I'm telling you, my mom is so strong still today. She is so strong about, you've got to know God. And she'll remind me, and I'm the pastor of the church, been a pastor for 36 years. She'll say, son, now I expect you to go to that church, and I expect you to obey God. And I said, well, Mama, I'm going to. It's as if she doesn't think I will. I said, well, I'm going to, Mom, I am. Well, I want you to now. Don't miss heaven. But she'll say to me, don't miss heaven. Of course, they believe a little differently than I do. Because some folks believe you can lose your salvation. And Mama will say to me once in a while now, did you have the Holy Spirit in your church service this morning, son? I said, Mama, I brought him with me. She said, oh, you know what I mean. I said, well, yeah, he was right there. Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, he's right there in the midst. I said, he was there. She said, oh, good, good. Don't ever lose the Holy Spirit, son. Don't ever lose the Holy Spirit. I mean, she's strong. She pumps me all the time. You know, stay true now. Come on, preach hard. Preach it right. And you better live it, too. Mama will say, you better live it. And you and Rebecca are living it, aren't you? Yeah, Mom, what are you questioning that for? I just want to check. You guys doing okay? I'm doing fine, Mom. Isn't that good? Now, some kids get all offended and all burn up at their mom and dad. If mom and dad talk to them and say, you doing okay? Quit asking me that dumb question. Well, if you're right with God, it doesn't bother you. You know you're living right. You know things are going okay. Come on, amen. What a God we serve. So we have three things. Number one, what was the first one? Mother's contribution was number one, transparent tenderness. Number two was authentic spirituality. Number three was this inner confidence, inner strength or confidence. Strong. Timothy stayed true to the Scriptures and stood strong in his ministry because he had learned inner confidence from his mother. And I believe that's what's helped me all my life, is my mom and dad were so strong. Never missed a church service. Never missed tithing. Never missed giving. Was always at every revival meeting. And we could never... We could never stay home to do homework. We could never miss church service to play a ball game. And now they're scheduling ball games all the time, as you know, on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons and Sunday nights. And church people all over are missing church constantly because, well, I got my boy. You know, it'd be better for you to bring your son or your daughter to the house of God. Amen. And tell the coach, he can play, but he can't play on Sundays. You say, nah, preacher, come on, that's old hat stuff. No, that's good stuff. And you'll teach that kid, you'll teach that young man, you'll teach that young gal, the priorities are God and not the world. If we're not careful, we're teaching the world principles are better than God's principles. They're not. Moms, do you know that God wants you to build healthy self-esteem in your children? Now, I know a lot of fundamentally independent folks don't like to talk about self-esteem and all that kind of thing, but I'm telling you, this is so important, and I believe that, Mom, you need to understand that God wants you to build healthy self-esteem in your child. It's a wise adult who understands that self-esteem is the most fragile characteristic in human nature. And once broken, its reconstruction is more difficult than repairing Humpty Dumpty. Man, it's difficult to repair somebody who loses this. Although our task is more difficult for some children than for others, there are ways, honestly, to teach a child of his genuine significance, regardless of the shape of his nose, or the size of his ears, or the efficiency of his mind. Every child is entitled, I think, to hold up his head, not in haughtiness and cockiness and pride, but in confidence and security. This is the concept of human worth. And you don't have any human worth outside of Jesus Christ. Our Creator intended us to have worth. It really bothers me when teenagers are growing up and they feel like that they're no good and nobody wants them and they can never please anybody and they have no worth. It really bothers me. How foolish for us to doubt the value that God placed on us, because He's the one who formed us and He's the one who made us, and we are made in His image. And for anybody to grow up and say, I don't have any value about myself, I have no self-worth, I don't feel very good about myself, and they hang their head all the time. Get your head up, son. Come on, daughter, walk straight. God has a purpose for your life. Man, every day I taught that to my kids, and I would actually teach Ken, and I don't see this happening. I would sit at a chair and make Ken walk across the room to me. If I saw him like this, I'd say, son, stand up. Raise your head, son. Raise your head. Come on, walk to dad. If he walked kind of like, no. Walk to dad. Come on, walk. Act like you're going someplace. I said, now come on, now when you get here, look at me in the eye and shake my hand. And don't give me no fishy old handshake. Give me, squeeze my hand. You do that? We'd do that for hours. I tell them that. Lynette, quit walking like a man. Walk like a girl. Don't take those big strides. Don't take those. You see women doing that today, don't you? They're just looking for somebody to thump. Be feminine when you walk. Or whatever. I'm not one of those kinds, so I don't know. Come on, amen. Mothers, we need to teach these kinds of things. So important to say, no, you can't wear that. No, that's not good. No. Doesn't represent my family. Doesn't represent God. No. And it's okay. A child is convinced that he is greatly loved and respected by his parents. He is inclined to accept his own worth as a person. Inner confidence, transparent tenderness, authentic spirituality is passed down from generation to generation. Mom, are you taking the time to cultivate a positive self-image in your children? Now, we cannot be creating a positive self-image if we always are hollering at them. And that's all we're doing is negative. No, I told you, quit! You're never going to build anything positive in that child's life. That child's going to be a basket case. That child's going to sit in pastor's offices all over the world because they weren't dealt properly. Moms, your life and your job is so vitally important. How do you do it? Unselfish love is the next. Unselfish love. Look at verse number 7 again. This is the fourth contribution that mothers make here in verse number 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The kind of love, agape love, seeks the highest good of the other person. It needs to be evident in every facet of your lives. Moms, it's got to be in your life. And your love shows through two ways. First, in your sense of humor. Moms have got to have a good sense of humor. My mother, to this day, has an awesome sense of humor. Sometimes it's a little risque. Right, Brother Frank? Brother Frank was there. Mom, but she has a great sense of humor. And she's fun to be with. She's in her 80s, but boy, she's so much fun to be with. She's just a jolly person. And I think, Mom, you got to learn how to laugh. When you laugh in the midst of pressure, you got to learn how to laugh. Come on, moms. Amen. You can't be the whole life. It can't happen. You got to be able to laugh. You got to say, that was funny. You got to laugh at yourself. Some people take life way too serious. And folks, life isn't very long. As you get closer to death, you're going to say, boy, I wish I had enjoyed life better. Just enjoy life. Laugh. Have a good sense of humor. By the way, I think that good sense of humor when you laugh in the presence of pressure and refuse to take yourself too seriously gives your child a more positive and unthreatening environment to grow up in. And then number two, I think secondly, is your sense of insight. You need to have a good sense of insight. When you listen to hurts and hear what isn't said, you know, Mom was the best. My mom was the best about reading between the lines. She knew how to read between the lines. And that's what we're talking about here. Showing your child that you care and you really do indeed want to help. Last, self-control. Self-control. Take a final look at that verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. Good moms balance tenderness and love with discipline. Good moms, listen moms, good moms set parameters and know when it's time to say, that's it. Good moms know when to say, that's it, that's enough. There was a study done of 1,800 boys, and they were talking about the importance, the differences between the families of the boys with high self-esteem and those with low self-esteem or self-worth. Now listen to this report. This is awesome. I dug this up myself. It says this. First, the high-esteem children were more loved and appreciated at home. Their parents' love was deep and real. Their words had substance. Secondly, perhaps most revealing, the high-esteem group had parents whose approach to discipline was significantly more strict. They taught self-control. In contrast, the parents of the low self-esteem group were much more permissive, creating a sense of insecurity. I have told people that for years, that if you don't have discipline, if you don't have parameters, your kids will never feel secure. But if you give them parameters, fences that they can't cross, they will feel secure. They may not like them, but it will bring security. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God has parameters. And I'm telling you, once you're in the kingdom of God and you know those parameters and you love God, don't you have a good sense of security? Yes, sir, because those give you that kind of sense. He said these boys were more likely to feel that no one cared enough to enforce rules. I know moms who have rules but never enforce them. They say, oh, well, I'm just going to let my kids do what they want. Your kids are going to be hurt by that immensely. They really will. Thirdly, the high-esteem group had homes that were characterized by democracy and open communication, where the other home had no communication. Here's something to think about. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to do what? He learns to or condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. Listen, one of the greatest mistakes people make is when they watch those gory movies with your kids. Don't ever watch gory movies at all. Why do you want to see somebody slit somebody up? Why do you want to see somebody shoot somebody? Oh, it's the best move in the world. You know, your kids are getting that implanted in their little hearts. And you would be surprised to know how many murderers became murderers because they watched with their moms and dads the horror shows on TV on Friday and Saturday nights. Take it for what it's worth, folks. I'm telling you, it's the honest truth. And we're not helping ourselves, we're hurting ourselves. And you watching all those sex shows and sex movies? You're going to raise a bunch of kids who are hellions, who live uncharacterized and undisciplined and not like Christ. You're hurting yourself. And you're going to kill your family. Because all that stuff, that is called pollution. Come on, amen? Don't go that direction. A child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If he lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to have confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns to be just. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. Now, isn't that some points to ponder? The last. Let's return to our foundation just a bit. Go to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 and 4 one more time. How do mothers build solid homes? First, they secure the foundation. Anybody remember the tools? What are the tools taught in the Word of God? What are the tools that are taught? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. That's the tools. Verses 3 and 4. And those riches that we're going to have, our rooms are going to be filled with precious and pleasant riches. Now listen closely. The riches will be transparent tenderness, authentic spirituality, inner confidence, unselfish love, and self-control. Children will see what God's love is all about through their parents, especially through their mothers, because they spend most of the time with their mothers. Moms, when you laugh, your children hear God laugh. Think about it that way. When you cry, they see God cry. And when you give up on your children, letting them go out into the world, they will never understand more fully how God gave up His Son. Never doubt the value of your role as a mother. Without your positive, supportive partnership, I'm telling you, Mom, the family cannot survive. Right. What's happened in our society is that the devil has taken the moms out of the homes. For whatever reason. And we've got major problems. Now think about this. What are the essential qualities for good home building? I need four or five fellows very quickly to come and jump up here and pass these to my church people. These are just given to the ladies, guys. Just to the ladies. Just to the ladies. I want you to take a quick moment before we do anything else. We're just about finished with service. But I want you to evaluate yourself on these qualities. And I do not want to see these. I don't want you to mark them, put your name on them, and lay them around so people can see them. I want you to do a little self-evaluation. Evaluate yourself on these qualities. Now listen, transparent tenderness. Am I doing well? Okay. I need work here. Authentic spirituality. I'm doing well, okay, or need work. Inner confidence. Same three things. Unselfish love. Self-control. Mother, this is for you. It's for you to do yourself. Mark them and ask God to give you some help this morning. You know what? If you're a mother or you're a lady, you need to have these things in your life. Because the blueprint, the Bible, the Word of God taught us these essential qualities for good home building. Ladies, I'm going to give you a second. Musicians are going to come to the organ, the piano, please, if they will. Ladies, I'm going to give you a second just to mark those. Make sure, guys, everybody has one. All the ladies, these are just for ladies. Transparent tenderness, how are we doing? Authentic spirituality. You know, sometimes we hear messages and we just don't do anything about it. Here's a piece of paper to take home and do something about it. And I'm telling you, if I knew the heart of every lady in this place, no doubt she would say, I would want my children to know the Lord Jesus. I want them to grow up and know God. And I so appreciate that because I think they need that too. The outline is a firm foundation, a mother's contributions, some points to ponder, and please evaluate yourself on these qualities. That's the message this morning. The essential qualities for good home building. Now you're here this morning and you're a mother or you're a lady, and some of these qualities are not in your life. And you'd like to say to God, God, would you help me this morning? I want these qualities to be in my life. And maybe you need to use the altar today. And that's perfectly fine. Would you stand with us, please, everybody? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.